Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the economic hostage crisis situation in Washington, D.C., where Republicans are using the threat of economic collapse to extort concessions from a president who has to run for re-election on a weak economy they are weakening further. Former chief investigator for the U.S. Senate Banking Committee and a 20-year columnist for Business Week, Robert Kuttner, joins us to discuss his latest article in the Huffington Post, The End Game, Saving Obama from Himself. Then, with General Petraeus' departure from Afghanistan to head up the CIA, we'll look into whether or not the Petraeus surge was a success, since it depends on political stability and the quality of the Afghan army. Former Afghan analyst at the State Department Bureau of Intelligence and Research, Dr. Marvin Weinbaum, joins us to discuss the recent series of assassinations, including Karzai's brother Wali, that indicate less stability and more success for the Taliban as a drawdown of U.S. troops begins. Then we'll talk about the unexpected and unintended consequences of the so-called Carmageddon hysteria that predicted gridlock, but instead delivered a calm and clean Los Angeles where you could breathe, you could hear the birds and not the traffic, where you could breathe fresh air and where Angelenos relaxed at home with their families. Maybe we should demolish freeway bridges more often. The godfather of the slow movement, Carl Honoré, joins us. He is the author of In Praise of Slowness, How a Worldwide Movement is Challenging the Cult of Speed. I'm now joined by Robert Kuttner, who's a co-founder and co-editor of The American Prospect. He was formerly an assistant to the legendary I.F. Stone, a chief investigator for the Senate Banking Committee, and for 20 years wrote a column for Business Week. Robert Kuttner is the author of 8 books, including his latest, A Presidency in Peril, the insider story of Obama's promise, Wall Street's power, and the struggle to control our economic future. He has an article on the Huffington Post right now titled The End Game, Saving Obama from Himself. Thank you for joining us on Background Briefing, Robert Kuttner.
Always a pleasure, Ian.
And congratulations
on Carmageddon.
Well, I had nothing to do with it, but I sure enjoyed it. And I think there's a lesson to be learned from...
Indeed.
Your position, though, with this what I refer to as this... economic hostage crisis going on in Washington, D.C., is that the worst thing that could happen is that the Republicans could have a sanity transplant and then agree to what Obama proffered and offered on the table.
Yeah, the only thing, well, as I say in the piece, I mean, there's two things saving him from his own worst instincts to capitulate. One is the fact that the Republicans are too crazy to take the deal. And the other is that the Democratic rank and file in Congress are actually pretty good on this. They understand that Social Security and Medicare are crown jewels, that if Social Security needs some fine-tuning and Medicare needs to be converted into a real national health insurance program, you shouldn't get that all mixed up with a budget crisis that is the result of one part the Bush tax cuts and the Bush military buildup and the other part the result of the recession itself. The two have almost nothing to do with each other. Keep them separate. And, you know, Obama keeps throwing the furniture onto the pyre in the hope that the Republicans will take him up on this. And the Republicans are too crazy to do it.
So, there's a rumor, though. I mean, first of all, I don't know how hard the facts are about what he offered on the table. There's a talk of a $4 trillion deal. We know that Boehner agreed to end the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy, which would add at best $1 billion. So even if that's true, it's a 3-to-1 ratio of giving cuts to revenues.
I'm not sure Boehner agreed to end the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy. I mean, Boehner did say that you could have some degree of revenue produced mainly by closing tax loopholes. But the point is, any talk on the part of Boehner's part about any revenue increases is enough to get the Tea Party people and the freshmen to unhorse him as speaker. So no sooner had Boehner tentatively agreed to some of this than he was almost lynched by his own caucus.
Well, but what we hear, though, is that the president is, and he, as you point out in your article in the Huffington Post, Robert Kuttner, is that the president's positioning himself as the adult in the room. Now, maybe, you know, if this stuff's off the table, we can breathe a sigh of relief. If that's the price for winning over the center, so be it. But there's no evidence in polling that the American people really get it. I mean, this is perhaps a product of our collapsing education system, that it's about 50-50, that 50% of people think that that the U.S. defaulting is will be a disaster, and the other 50% think it's okay.
Well, you know, but that's only as an abstraction, you know? I mean, what happens when interest rates go up and the stock market falls by 1,000 points? So you can't trust the polls on this kind of thing. The essence of leadership is not being led yourself by the polls. You know, and the Republicans are going to bring up this Cap, Cut, and Balance Act tomorrow before the House that would cost about 700,000 jobs. It would dramatically cut Medicare and Medicaid. It would require the federal budget to be capped at 18% of GDP, even in a recession. And the Ryan budget plan, which scared off a lot of Republican elected officials, is too moderate to meet the criteria of this proposal. So when the House Republicans pass this thing, they are giving the Democrats all kinds of ammunition for next year if Obama doesn't go them one better with his own offer of cuts in Social Security and Medicare. So, I mean, I think the Republicans have backed themselves into a corner. Because if the economy really is on the edge of default, and you have the Republicans' normal allies on Wall Street and CEOs of corporations telling them you can't do this, you can't let the United States of America go into default, the Republicans are going to have to blink first. We got a preview of that with Mitch McConnell's program. If Obama just hangs tough,
well. Obviously, I don't see where the leverage is, frankly, in the idea is that Obama's strategy is to pin this on the Republicans and let them go ahead and pull the House down. But even there, that's a Pyrrhic victory, surely, because if they do the crazy thing, the election's a year away, and probably by then the people will be so in such stress they'll blame Obama at any rate. So I guess the question is, how suicidal are the Republicans?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we're not going to have a default. I mean, I think enough Wall Street people are going to get to enough Republican members of Congress that they'll figure out a way to paper this over. I think it's going to look something like the Mitch McConnell plan, where Obama is given the authority to increase the debt ceiling, and the number they're talking about for 10-year budget cuts is in the order of $1.5 trillion, which is a lot less than $4 trillion, and that gives the House Republicans something that they can claim victory about. And my guess is that the deal we're going to see is going to be much like the McConnell plan. I mean, the Republicans in the House are going to vote for this extreme, draconian cut, cap, and balance act. The Senate's going to refuse to pass it, and then Harry Reid, the Democratic leader, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, are going to cut a deal that the Senate is going to pass first, giving Obama the right to unilaterally increase the debt ceiling with some gimmies for Republicans. There may be a deficit reduction commission. There may be some cuts attached to it, and then they're going to send it back to the House, and then corporate America is going to go into action. I mean, it's very interesting. The Republican Party is squeezed between the complete crazies of the Tea Party and the business elite. And
but surely that doesn't make any sense then for the president to let them off the hook if they are if they are squeezed, as you say, and the Mitch McConnell deal that you're talking about, that gets the Republicans off the hook because the president takes the heat for raising the debt ceiling, and then they want to come back to him every other week and extract more concessions and keep playing this game of threatening this insane idea of pulling the House down. I mean,
well, the version of it that's being talked about is he's got to come back to them three times between now and the election. So I mean, I don't, you know, the flip side of the public not, 50% of the public not caring if the United States of America defaults, is that at least 70% of the public could not care less about the arcane details of how the debt ceiling is raised. I mean, people care about jobs, people care about their income, people care about their health insurance, people care about whether they're going to lose their homes. And a lot of this stuff is an inside baseball, Washington Beltway media game. There's a real economy out there. Real people are hurting. And the 2012 election is not going to turn on whether, you know, Obama brought us budget balance by 2021. It's going to turn on whether the unemployment rate is coming down.
Well, but at this point, I don't see the broad public and the press reporting the obvious, or at least understanding the obvious, that this economic hostage crisis situation in Washington is because the Republicans are using the threat of economic collapse to extort concessions from a president who has to run for re-election on a weak economy that they are weakening further. So that, well, to me, is the dynamic, that the Democrats get blamed for the wreckage and the Republicans are the wrecking crew.
Right, exactly. And you're right that the mainstream media are not reporting that, and that's why we have Pacifica and the American Prospect.
Well, I wish there were more people listening to us, Robert Gartner. That's all I can say, because I don't think you have to be an Einstein to figure this out. It's pretty flagrant, isn't it, this extortion?
Yeah, sure. Although I'd like to think that you and I are pretty smart fellows.
Well, you know, it's a joke, but there's an awful lot at stake. And what I don't understand, let's not even talk about the president's negotiating tactics, because we don't really know the details. But so far, they don't look too good. But if the president is, what he did say in his press conference recently struck me was that, let's get this big deal over with, and then we can get back to the real work of creating jobs. Well, I would have thought it should have been the other way around. Don't buy into the deficit hoax. Don't have your commission paid for by Pete Peterson and the Wall Street billionaires.
Right.
Talk about jobs from day one, and then forget all this other nonsense, because how come you've allowed yourself to tie the economy to the debt?
Exactly. No, I couldn't agree more. There is a cartoon out by Tom Tomorrow called Middleman, which is the best single thing I've seen on this, where he's got Obama just being taken to the cleaners by the Republicans again and again and again, and just not learning. So it's really very unfortunate, and I think the Democrats and the independents who elected Obama and the Democrats in the House and the Senate just need to hold his feet to the fire, so that if he comes up with a deal that gives away the store, no Democrat should vote for it.
Well, but you argue in your article, Robert Gartner, in the current, on the front page of the Huffington Post, the end game, saving Obama from himself, that Pelosi and others have been weighing in, telling him that.
Yes, they have.
But what about Harry Reid? What he's doing? It sounds like Harry Reid's enabling this McConnell to get off the hook.
Well, but Harry Reid's been very good too. I mean, Harry Reid's been terrific, saying we don't need to touch Social Security and Medicare to do this budget deal. So, I mean, I think you know, politics is the art of the possible, and right now, some version of the McConnell deal is what's possible. So I don't fault Harry Reid for trying to negotiate something with McConnell, because it's rather better than the alternative.
But you don't think that the fact that these pillars of the Democratic Party's legacy, Social Security and Medicare, the very fact that they may well have been put on the table will come back to haunt the Democrats? Do you think they're safely off the table?
No, I don't think they're safely off the table, but they'll only come back to haunt the Democrats if Obama decides to go along with a cut. I mean, he should be screaming from the housetops about how crazy and irresponsible the Republicans are, how the Republicans want to cut your Social Security and your Medicare, how the Republicans are willing to take the economy off the cliff. And, of course, if he gives away some of Social Security and Medicare himself, he denies the Democrats their most potent talking point.
And do you think that the Democratic party? Don't they understand the old adage from the Clinton days? It's the economy, stupid.
Well, I think certainly most of the Democratic caucus in the House and the Senate do understand that. And Obama and his pollsters and his advisors have somehow gotten it into their heads that the key to his election is to be able to stand up and say, I balanced the budget in 2021. Well, who gives a rip? I mean, you have to be, you know, a terminal policy wonk to think that that's more important than reducing the unemployment rate and putting people back to work. So if he doesn't have the wit to understand that, then the Democrats in the House and the Senate and the base organizations who helped put this guy in office need to let him know that if he keeps talking that line, people should spend their efforts next year electing progressives to the House and the Senate, and good luck to Obama. I mean, I'm not quite there, but I'm almost at the point where, you know, if you look at the alternatives for 2012, it's going to be very, very difficult to hold the Senate for the Democrats just because of the arithmetic. You've got 11 Republican seats being defended. You've got 23 Democratic seats being defended, including the class of 06, which was the most heavily Democratic class in recent years. So the Democrats are very likely to lose the Senate. Unless Obama has big coattails, it's going to be very hard for the Democrats to take back the House. And given the talk he's talking, he's not going to have coattails at all. So in 2012, after the election, you could very well have Obama squeak through as president and have both houses controlled by the Republicans. And then you have four more years of this insanity. So, you know, there's a part of me that says, God, if we got a Republican president in everything but name, maybe we'd be better off actually having a Republican president, and then the Democrats might be able to take that back their party and run a progressive in 2016. I'm not quite there yet, but six more months of this, and I might be.
So just in closing then, Robert Cutner, do you think anybody's going to point out the obvious? I remember having a conversation with Maya McGuinness about this some time back, suggesting that the Republicans actually have an investment in wrecking the economy and letting the Democrats run on the wreckage. She was very offended by that idea. But that, after all, that's what Mitch McConnell said. His priority is to destroy Obama. He said it again to Laura Ingraham the other day. And what they're doing is exactly that. So why not say it as it is to the American people? Do you think the American people would care, would get it? I mean, it seems like irresponsible behavior that you would hurt everybody in order for you guys to get elected.
Yeah, I think Obama needs to be saying that. I think he needs to be saying it loud and clear, because you're right. The Republicans win both ways. Either they compel Obama to throw the crown jewels of the Democratic legacy into the fire, and then the Republicans can campaign in 2012 saying, hey, the Democrats threw away your Social Security and Medicare, or the Republicans can exact such draconian terms that they deny Obama any fiscal resources to put into jobs, and they can force him to run on a terrible economy. So, you know, unless Obama plays it much more firmly and calls them out on this stuff, they win either way.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Robert Cutner.
Always a pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Cutner, who's a co-founder and co-editor of The American Prospect. He was formerly an assistant to the legendary I.F. Stone, a chief investigator for the Senate Banking Committee, and for 20 years wrote a column for Business Week. He's the author of 8 books, including the latest, A Presidency in Peril, The Insider Story of Obama's Promise, Wall Street's Power, and The Struggle to Control Our Economic Future. He also has an article on the Huffington Post right now titled The Endgame, Saving Obama from Himself. Let's take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about Petraeus leaving Afghanistan and what he's leaving behind. Every day I find a war against America.